In the book of Proverbs, there are a number of proverbs that talk about friendship and talk about the value of being a friend. And so I'm choosing several, but the main verse that I'm looking at is Proverbs 18, verse 24. And it says that a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Or the one of the other translations says, a man of unreliable friends, or one who has unfaithful friends. And so that old translation from Hebrew to English is not consistent in some of the versions. But I think the main point is that having lots and lots of people that you call friends may not be as important as having that friend that sticks closer to the brother, closer than a brother. It's been said that a man's best friend is his dog. It's also been said that there is nothing more friendly than a wet dog. And maybe you've had that experience as well. How do you get them to be unfriendly and go away when you don't want them? But the world is often about as friendly as a wet dog, I think. Not very friendly sometimes, and sometimes not very, very gracious or loving or kind. I read an article or a story about Thomas Jefferson long ago. He was traveling with a group cross country, and it had been kind of rainy and bad weather, kind of like this, only a lot more so. And they came to a river which had left its banks because of all of the recent downpour, and the swollen river had washed the bridge away. And so each rider was forced to cross the river on horseback, fighting for his life against the rapid currents. And the very real possibility of death as they crossed the swollen river was there. And as they were crossing, a traveler stood and watched some of them cross on horseback. And after several had gotten across, he asked President Jefferson if he would ferry him across the river as well. And President agreed without hesitation, and the man climbed on, and shortly thereafter the two made it safely to the other side of the river, wet but no worse for the wear than that, and the stranger slid off the back of the saddle onto what was somewhat dry ground. And one of the group asked him, "Tell me, why did you ask the president for a ride across the river?" And the man was shocked, admitting he didn't know it was the president. But he said, "All I know is that some of your faces, the answer was already written, no. And some of your faces had the answer, yes. And his was a yes face." People are looking for a yes face. They're looking for friendly, but they are even looking more than that for a friend. People are looking for somebody who sticks closer than a brother. People are looking for those who really care and really connect, and I need friends like that, and I believe you're looking for that kind of friend as well. And people come to church, whether it's indoors or outdoors or in spiritual places, looking for friends. They come to church because they need somebody who cares. They come to church, and ultimately they come to know Jesus because of a friend. And it's been said that 80 to 90% of people who come to know Jesus come because of a friend or a family member. Last week we read the verse that talked about using our money to make friends while we are on this earth, even if it's in sort of an dishonest kind of way, use our money to make friends so that when this life is over, we have made true friends. Well, Jesus says, love one another. And the proverb, there's a friend that sticks closer to a brother, and that long-term, that friendship is what we're looking for. In Proverbs 17:17, another proverb that talks about friendship, and it says, a friend loves at all times. They love. They show they care by their presence, by their consistency, by their faithfulness. They are steadfast and they are true, and sometimes we use all kinds of descriptive words. They are true blue, or they are steadfast, or they are faithful, or they are there for you, or some of the terms we use, they have your back, or you can depend on them, or you've got a friend in me. They care. And they are faithful. They care not just about what happens, but about how you feel and what's going on in your life. They care about the important things that are happening with your family or your children or the struggles that you have, your important people. And the proverb says they love at all times. Through the war, many men have become foxhole buddies. And they have had each other's back, and they've cared for one another, and they've survived through some of the most difficult trials of their lives, a battle on the field of war. And they may remain steadfast and true, even if they are separated by time and circumstances. And there are sometimes that people become friends through an illness. Maybe they share that journey of cancer together. Or maybe it's the heartaches and the losses that people share together. And I know sometimes there's a connection when people have had similar circumstances, the loss of a loved one perhaps, or an illness that they've gone through. They love at all times. They also celebrate the successes, and they're there when the joyful things and the weddings and the graduations and the celebrations take place. They love at all times. Many of you have been friends with me through losses and celebrations, and I've been blessed to share many of those situations and circumstances with you, and somehow those friendships, that love that's there, the friend loves at all times. And true friends are not lost even by circumstances, like distance. And I know of people that are friends even though they live thousands of miles apart. They can come back together for a weekend or a time together, and it's almost as if they haven't been separated at all. They start right back up where they left off. Or maybe it's the years that have gone by and people have gotten older and their children have grown up or the families have gone, but as soon as they get back together, it's almost as if they have not been separated by the years. And so a friend loves at all times. We need that kind of friend. We need those kinds of friends in our lives. Proverbs 27, verse 6 says something else about friendship. It says a true friend is honest. Or it says it this way, actually, wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. A friend is honest. A friend might wound you, but those wounds can be trusted. Those wounds can be known to be for good reason. But the one who seems to kiss and to give you that somehow superficial kind of love, wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy kind of puts on the show. They multiply kisses. Honesty can sometimes be painful to bear. It may feel like wounds, but if I'm being offensive, or if I'm hurting other people, or hurting myself by things I do, my friend will be honest enough to say, Mark, you might want to think about that. You might want to do that in a different way. You might want to reconsider before you say that, or you might want to go and say, I'm sorry to that person that you offended. And so a friend is honest. And you hear the term brutally honest, and sometimes honesty has to be brutal, but I think when it comes from a friend, most of the time it doesn't have to be brutal. We don't have to really hit them hard. We just need to be honest and loving. And so a true friend will wound at times, but they're honest. I read this quote that said, it's easy to tell who your friends are. They are the ones who stab you in the front. Maybe they hurt, but they have a good reason for it. They're not deceptive or dishonest. They just care. Proverbs 27, verse 17 talks about friendship, and it says that a true friend makes you a better person. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. A true friend makes you a better person. Peppermint Patty and Marcy were talking one day, Charlie Brown comic strips, you know, and Peppermint Patty said to Marcy, I'd like to read this book, but I'm kind of afraid. My grandfather didn't think much about reading. He always said that if you read too much, your head would fall off. And so Marcy said, you go ahead and read the first chapter and I'll hold your head. A true friend holds your head. They make you a better person. They encourage you to take a chance or to go a little bit farther or to try it again. And so they might encourage you to try something new, or they might say, come and join me for this adventure, or let's go here together, and they will help you stretch, or they'll help you grow, or they'll help you improve. And so real friends are those who, as the quotation says, the real friend are those who, when you've made a fool of yourself, they don't think you've done a permanent job. They're continuing to encourage and to make you know that you're there. Rabbit was one of Pooh's favorite friends. He was out for a walk in the 100-acre wood about 11:30 in the morning, and it was that time of day when he often went calling, and so he set out across the stream on those stepping stones. And he got in the middle of the stream and he sat down on one of those warm stones in the middle of the stream and he began to think, you know, how Pooh always thought. And he began to think, I think I'll see Tigger. No. Then he says, owl. Then he says, no, owl uses big words, hard to understand words. And then at last he brightens up and he says, I think I'll go see Rabbit. I like Rabbit. He uses encouraging words like, how about a little lunch? Or, help yourself, Pooh. That friend makes us a better person. A friend is encouraging and uses encouraging words. And so there's a vast difference, and we've come to know a vast difference between friendly and friend. People are looking not for friendly. We get all kinds of friendly calls on the phone. All kinds of telemarketers and people who would like to sell us something and try to come across as if they are your best friend. And a year ago I bought a car and the salesman still calls. You know, he still is a friendly person because if he's still friendly 5 years or whatever it is, maybe I'll go back and buy another car from him. There's a friendliness that the world is trying to portray, but what we really want is a friend. And part of the calling of those of us who follow Jesus is to be a friend. To be a friend, to love, to be honest, to help one another become better people. Jesus said, love one another. And he also said, if your enemy forces you to go 1 mile, go 2 miles. Go the extra mile. And so especially with friends, we go an extra mile. And our mission, our calling is to bring people to Jesus. It's a little harder in this time because friendliness involves being together a lot. But friendship is important. So how can you be a true friend, especially during a pandemic? How can you continue to develop friendships and during this time when we especially have been separated so much, you need to know that you have that friend? How do you do that? Well, number one, you clear some space on your calendar in maybe your other friendships. If you're a person who's grown up in the same town and you've had those friends all your life, the same ones that you've always had, and you're together every day or every week and so forth, maybe clear off a little space in those friendships to say, let me try to make a new friend. And so you make some space in your life somehow. A second thing is to be intentional. It's been said that you can make more friends in 2 months by being interested in others than in 2 years by trying to get other people to be interested in you. And so somehow going out of our way and being intentional and being friendly and listening and being intentional is a part of being a friend. And so Jesus calls us to be intentional about being a friend. A third thing is to spend time together. Now, when we have to be at least 6 feet apart or maybe at a social distance, or you put that mask on your face and all of a sudden it covers up about half of your facial expression so that you don't know whether they're smiling or whether there's a little sadness behind that smile or not, or those kind of things, it makes it even more difficult. And yet the time you spend together is so valuable. And so how do you bring a new person into your life at a time like this? How do you bring them together? How do you spend that time? Well, hopefully this will be over soon and it'll get easier, but in the meantime, we try to figure it out. Phone calls, eating together. Well, if you can sit across the table or maybe have that circle of friends in the park and you all bring your lunch together and you sit there in your own lawn chair and you eat your lunch together or whatever kinds of things it takes, and maybe a little bit of creativity. How do you develop those friendships? They're so important because people are hurting for a friend and they're lonely and they're trying to endure this pandemic and they're trying to endure this time. And even if we weren't having that, we'd still need that powerful relationship and friendship. And so intentionality and spending time together somehow. Zoom calls, maybe that better than nothing at least. And after all, even people that are clear across the country are maybe reuniting in ways that is better than what they've been able to do. And so maybe in some ways the pandemic has been a good thing, in other ways. How do you be a true friend? Space, intentionality, creativity, and time together, and then we simply follow the rules or the suggestions in 1 Corinthians 13 when Paul says love is patient and love is kind and it is not boastful or irritable or proud or rude. And so we love. Proverbs 18:24. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And obviously, Solomon wrote years before Jesus was born. He was talking about human friends that were close friends of his, but as well, Jesus is that friend who sticks closer than a brother. He will be that friend for us, given his life for us, is willing to walk with us and be our guide through life. And so as we learn to trust in Jesus, we find him to be our friend as well. Well, people are looking not for friendly. They're looking for a friend. I read an article about a young man. He was working on his doctoral thesis, a college student. And so as a research project, before he wrote the thesis, he spent a year living on a Navajo Indian reservation in the Southwest. And he lived with one family in their home and ate their food and slept with them and ate with them and worked with them and lived the life of a 20th century Navajo. The old grandmother of the family didn't speak English at all. And the young man didn't speak her language either. And yet they spent a great deal of time sharing a friendship that went beyond language. Somehow they learned to communicate. And in time, she learned a few English phrases and he learned a few Navajo sentences, and they shared the common language of love together. And over those months, the time that they spent developed into a strong relationship. When it came time for him to go back to campus and write his thesis, there was a kind of a village celebration, a goodbye kind of celebration. There was some sadness in his departure, and as he got ready to get into his pickup truck to leave, the old grandmother came up to say goodbye to him, and she put her hands on his face, and she looked him in the eye, and she said, "I like me best when I'm with you." Can people say that about you? "I like me best when I'm with you." I think so. I hope so, but I believe there are those people who say, "I like me best when I'm with you." That friendship, that oneness, that powerful emotion that you have. And this week I want to encourage us to seek out some new friendships. Or maybe an old friendship that's kind of gotten set aside because of years or distance or things like that. There's that friend that sticks closer than a brother, and maybe we are called to be that friend. We have a friend in Jesus, and we have brothers and sisters in our church and in our community. But Jesus, that friend that we have, invites us, I believe, as well to seek out those new friendships and those old ones, because maybe somehow through that they can come to know him as well. And so if the Lord leads you this week, as he does, seek out that friendship. Look to that person who maybe as you look, mask or not, you see that lonely look in their eyes and you say, "There's somebody there that needs a friend. What can I do? How can I be their friend? How can I connect with them?" And I think that's so important for us to look for that as we go through this time of difficulty. Let's pray together, shall we? Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that you call us to be your friend. You call us friend in the Gospel of John. It tells us that you no longer call us just people, but you call us friends, not just acquaintances, but your disciples or friends, because the friend knows what you're doing and you let us in on your plan and your purpose and your reason for being here. We thank you, Lord, that you call us as well to be friends and to go out into the world and make disciples and to make a difference. And so help us, Lord, to be aware and prick our minds and our consciences this week as we go about our jobs and our work and our activities. If there's that person who simply needs a friend, Lord, help us to do that, to be that person, even in spite of the social distancing that we need to practice, Lord, help us to show beyond that we care. Help us to do that. We love you, Lord, and we thank you that we have a friend in you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.